our Heavenly Father and His blessedness. His blessedness is something we can speak of, and the title today is going to be Unsearchable Goodness of Yah. Okay, the unsearchable goodness of Yah. It's just something we can't totally absorb. It's impossible. Because He looks after us more so than we even can comprehend. Looking out for us. When we meet His conditions and when we try to obey, He stamps that good enough, all right? And unless you really got problems, and then He eggs you along, He has a foot that can help you a bunch along the path of life. And always thank Him for that even. But I want to start out, this is going to be a little bit unusual, but we're going to start out in Job, the great book of Job. You can turn there if you like. Job means persecuted. And unfortunately, many times people persecute themselves. I mean, it's as though there weren't enough trouble in the world that they've got to make it rougher on themselves. Is it because they think they're better people and maybe things are going too easy, so let me stir up a little trouble for myself, a little persecution? Satan wanted Job. And God even asked him one day when he was before God, as it's written back in the, we're going to start in the fifth chapter, but I'll bring you up to speed if you haven't, can't remember. In chapter 1, verse 7, Job was walking with the other angels before God, and God said, "Hey, what do you think about my boy down there, old Job?" Satan said, "You got so many walls around him, I can't touch him. But if you'll pull those walls down," and those are the walls God has given you as power over your enemies. He figured Job was good enough that Job could cut it even without the walls. And Job did. But boy, did he go through it. He really did. And first off, Job, it took a long time, about 38 chapters of ratchet jaws, ratchety, 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 advice from every direction. I mean, telling poor old Job what was wrong with him. Just one problem, Job hadn't done anything. Job was a good old boy. That's why God was proud of him. So you want, when you send for friends to give you advice, I hope you know what you're doing, because sometimes you would have been a lot better off without their advice. Why? Because you've got your Father, and it is unsearchable at His goodness, and the advice He has given you in this Word, have you read it? It will never let you down. There'll still be some bumps in the road, but God's children love bumps. Bring them on. All right? We're ready. We can handle it. Can do type people. So when He blesses us, nobody can touch you. There are no giants left in the world for us. This ministry is a documentation of that. It's gone all the way around the world, and a lot of people fighting and kicking and screaming, trying to get in the way, and we just push them out. Get them out of the road. Either follow lead or get out of the way. We're taking the Word to the people. So it's a frame of mind, the wonderful, unsearchable goodness of God. Anyway, Job, after Father removes the cushions, like you ask Father for a wall of protection around your family, well, He removed that. God did. So just see what you can do with him. And man, Satan just worked him over something good. There he sit with sores all over his body. And his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, that's the kind of mate you need." So, unfortunately, I suppose they had lost all their children, all their property, and Satan helped take it all. And once you get in that vein, you kind of cause it to happen to yourself anyway. So he sends for his friends, or his friends decided, "Hey, we're going to come help you out." So you want to be careful, because sometimes they'll help you all the way out. But yet, even with that, sometimes they have words of encouragement. Go to identify who is speaking. Go to chapter 4, verse 1, and it said, "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said," and we'll just take it for a verse or two here, "if we essay to commune with thee," if we try to analyze what's wrong with you, "wilt thou be grieved?" We're going to say some hard things probably. "But who can withhold himself from speaking?" I mean, it's obvious you're the greatest sinner among us because you've lost everything. You're sitting here in sackcloth and ashes, and we're going to come down on you hard, boy. Now, this is why man can't judge, because these men couldn't read Job's mind. God could. That's why God is our judge. Never let man judge you. It doesn't matter if they do, because it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because God knew Job's heart was just right. And he knew and trusted Job to set the path for you, that if God ever decides to test you or use you an example to some weak soul, that you can take it. You can tell Satan, "Bring it on, let's get with it. Just show me what you got." Okay? Because you know in Christ's name you have power over all your enemies. What would you be afraid of? Nothing. Okay? So, but Job didn't have that right then, but he was our example. And these old boys did. They came down on him hard. They called him some names. Let's start with verse 5 as this knucklehead. Incidentally, we won't be going there, but in chapter 38 of Job, God finally shows up on the scene and says, "What are you listening to these people that know nothing? You've got me. You've got, this is your father that put the stars in orbit where they are, that placed the earth where it is, that brings all of the seasons of the earth, that was with the sons of God in the first earth age, and when we sang with joy. Why aren't you listening to me instead of these knuckleheads?" So you see, you want to be, hey, good friends are precious. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have good friends, but your advice primarily should come from God. Okay? When you're really up against it, your advice should come from God. Why? A man can't read your mind. You see, between you and the Father, you know what's in your mind. You know whether you did it or not. You know how much repenting is present right here. And your Father also knows how much repenting is present right here. And the two of you can work it out real good. And again, that's not to annihilate or put aside friends. Friends are good. Friends are for companionship, not judges. So chapter 5, verse 1, he continues on. This ratchet jaws really got it going for him, okay? Now, ratchet jaws will occasionally drop seeds of truth, and we're going to pull those out, but at the same time, we're going to see what ratchet jaws do. Chapter 5 and verse 1. "Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn?" Job, what are you going to do? Who do you want to call out to? See if it'll do you any good. I mean, they got him judged right down, I mean, just about to dirt. "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one." And, you know, with what? Indignation. Verse 3, "I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate." That, you know what the gate is? That's the place of judgment, okay? "Neither is there any to deliver them." That means judgment or through litigation. There's just no hope for them, no help for them. Now, poor old Job, he's sitting here, and he is one sad sack, because he knows he hadn't done anything wrong, and yet his world is kind of coming unglued. But he loves God with all his heart, and that's one thing they're not going to take away from him. He's going to hang tough, and that'll pay off, because ultimately he'll have double of everything that was taken away. That's the way God does business. double payment for his first fruits. That's why you want to never, ever. If God expects you to be able to take some rough stuff, well, get going. You can cut it, or he wouldn't put it on you if you love him. You can cut it. You can do it. And don't you let him down while you're doing it. Do it. Can-do type person, all right? But here, this old boy is just in a way he wants to be helpful, but he's as any human will said, my goodness, you're sitting there, you've lost everything, you're a sinner above all sinners. Well, that wasn't the reason. God removed his protection and Satan is just ripping him off. And they're, instead of, you know, before it's over with, they're going to blame God, okay? These guys will. And they're going to blame Job, and they're never going to say one word against Satan. They're going to let him off scot-free, okay? So that shows you what kind of ratchet jaw we're dealing with. Talk is cheap, okay? God's word is priceless. It's precious. Okay, verse 5. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. I mean, it just seems like it's just one hard luck thing after the other. Now let me ask you a question. Will that happen to a child of God? I mean, you got a shotgun, don't you? That's not going to happen to God's children. We don't let people rob our crops. You know, taxation might do a pretty good job of it, and it's not a Christian thing to take your double barrel shotgun and go out and shoot somebody stealing watermelons, okay? I want to make that clear coming out the gate, all right? The reason I know that happened to me and some old cowboys in New Mexico. Are you admitting, Pastor, that you were stealing watermelons? Well, it really, when I was a teenager, it wasn't looked on that bad. It was kind of a game. But this old boy had that shotgun loaded with rock salt. This old cookie had bent over and he was about to pick up this big melon. And here came the rock salt and that melon went 50 feet, I swear. You want to be careful how you listen to people. God's people take care of their own stuff. God gave it to you. It is God's blessings. Don't let somebody rip you off for it. All right? It's your obligation to protect what God gives you. So, you see, where this advice is going here, this old boy's off base. Okay? Verse 6. Although, or for, just read in your mind, for affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Now, how would you like to have some ratchet jaw when you've done nothing come up and tell you, now look, trouble doesn't just happen to be happening. You've done something. Tell us. And we want the worst stuff first. All right? Verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That means the sons of the burning coals lift up to fly. That's not a true statement. Man is not born into trouble. We're born into the flesh. It's manageable. Where common sense is utilized. We're born into a flesh body, and if you let it have its way and the people of the world, there's trouble, all right. Or you can keep things under control. And that God sends at you, you can take care of business, okay? It's no problem. Just take care of business. And hey, listen, let me give you a little good advice. Take the hardest one first, okay? Get it out of the way, and the rest of it will be fun, okay? And coast right on through the day. You don't have to dread anything. Take care of business, okay? Verse 8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. That's some of the best advice this ratchet jaw gave him all the time. You know what Job should have said then, right then? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll dismiss you boys, y'all can go home, and I will go to God. Okay. He'd have been a lot better off, see? Verse 9, this is why we came here. which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now that's true. Those two verses are ever so true. And if Job would have listened to him, that'd been good advice. But he would have got rid of this ratchet jaw right away and went right to the Father, and because God, it is unsearchable. Do you know that he has a plan of salvation that is so fantastic, and how he draws people into helping him pass on that word of salvation, that word of overcoming? And sometimes he has to get out the naughty board and kind of work on people. And when that happens, you want to kiss the naughty board and say, Father, I understand. It'll happen, all right? But God, do you know what it means, unsearchable? His grace and his mercy, when you put yourself on it, he's going to love you, because that's what he really wants, is your love anyway. If you'll straighten yourself out, he wants nothing but your love and you to love him and to return that love. He doesn't want your burnt offerings. He doesn't want anything you've got, quite frankly, except your love. That's the main thing he wants. Hosea 6:6, your documentation. Father loves his children. So always remember that when you're in a tight, you go to him. Now, I want you to know I'm not discrediting good friends that you have trust in and everything, but avoid ratchet jaws. You know where I'm coming from. You've been there, done that, okay? Everybody can recognize a ratchet jaw. Do you know how a ratchet goes when you're ratcheting something up? Well, they'll do the same thing, all right? Okay, verse 10. This is our Father's unsearchable, marvelous things. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields. There didn't even have to be a man present. Man doesn't have anything to do with it. To set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. This is kind of true if there is one of God's elect saying, scotch it. God, that, you know, he kind of, if man, if you're going to let somebody work craftiness on you, God's not going to do a thing. He's going to say, I was proud of you. How long are you going to sit there and take that without asking my help? How long? You disappoint me, boy. And finally, when the boy says, Father, help me take care of my neighbor. I can't get along with him. I've tried. And if possible, let me get along with him. Then God will reach down and start tweaking attitudes. All right. Then he'll take care of it. But you've got to ask him. Don't leave him out of the equation of your life. Again, this ratchet jaw's talking, but he's not coming clean. Okay, that's why God would finally say in the 38th chapter, why do you want to waste your time and listen to somebody that don't know nothing? Those are God's words, not mine. Okay. Verse 13, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. If you ask, they meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. They steal, they pillage, they do whatever they want to any time. This ratchet jaw is letting it leave that, well, God will just take care of it. Not unless you ask, and not unless you get in and do what you can first. Okay? Don't put up with it. God likes people of action. That's why he said concerning Job in the first place, what do you think about my man Job? He's a go-getter. He gets out there with it. He takes her to work, and then he goes and gets her. Okay. So that wasn't Job's doings. Okay. I just want to know if you were awake. Oh. 15. Now, we have a lot of people here in Arkansas that they ask this old boy, well, what did you do? He said, well, I'm a go-getter. And they said, well, what is that? What is a go-getter? He said, that's where you take your wife to work, and then getting off time, you go get her. So, that's not for newlyweds, okay? All right, 15. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. If you ask, you still got to ask, all right? Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despite not thou the chastisement of the Almighty. He said, rejoice, Job, you sinner. Okay. You've got all this coming, so just take it happily, Job. Well, Job hadn't, there's just one problem with this. Job hadn't done anything. Okay. So, I mean, if you've got a friend like this one, you don't really need an enemy. I mean, he's making Job feel probably lower in a snake's belly instead of helping him out, all right? 18, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. That's not true. That is just absolutely a lie. God will not wound. Man wounds himself. Okay? It's a dangerous thing to say, wonder what burdens God's got for us today. You know what God says about that in Jeremiah? He said, hey, you want to talk about burdens? If you think I'm bringing the burdens, I'll see you get fixed up, buddy. And he will. But God doesn't bring burdens. Now, let me ask you a question. Who did? Who brought the burdens here and wounded? I mean, here's old Job's got sores. We talked about everybody but the guilty person, Satan. Let him get away with murder. And never brings it out to say, have you prayed and asked God to put the adversary back in the cage? Okay. To get him out of your life. Have you ordered him out? Poor Job hadn't ordered him out because Job's sitting here saying, I haven't done nothing and I don't understand why God's doing me this way or allowing it to be done this way. I just cannot figure it out. Maybe my friends will help me. Hey, with friends like this, yeah, he's really getting there, isn't he? God is marvelous. God is just so full of goodness. Don't forget him, and don't leave him out of the equation of your life, and don't listen to ratchet jaws. Talk to your father. You know something? There is an awesome amount of power that God gives his children and lets them utilize that power in their lives. But the minute you leave God out of that equation, you lost it. You're powerless. You're helpless. Because what is mortal man? Not much without God's help. You're like a leaf blowing in the wind, bouncing and hitting everything that gets in the way. You have to have that anchor, and you have to have that stability. He gave you, most of all, a brain. It's right up here between your ears, roughly. Use it. Okay. Stop, hesitate, think, and understand your problems and take care of business. 19, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. Well, that if you meet the conditions, he'll deliver you in 1,000. He will just simply take care of you and assist you. But there's one problem. You've always got to do your part. And your part is important. It's your part is what you can do without his help, because that's what makes him see goodness in you. The very Christ in you, see, in the age we live, we have Christ. And Christ is with us through us, in us. And you cannot imagine with Christ in us what a comfort you can be to somebody when you even walk in that presence. Because it's not you, but it is the Christ in you that lifts people, that does not judge people. See, this old boy's pretty judgmental anyway. You got Job, just rejoice because God's correcting you. You must be a sinner of sinners. You know, he didn't know what he was talking about. It doesn't help for someone to judge you when they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know you. Nobody knows you like God does. And he does help you. Now let's go to another place here in Job. Let's go to the 9th chapter where Job himself begins to speak. We're going to go to the 9th chapter. Job's about to answer here. Bear in mind, Job's getting all this free advice. Well, I don't know how free it is. He's kind of boarding them while they're there with what he's got left. And Job answers the chapter, and there's been another one or two has given me advice, but it amounts to the same thing. Ratchet jaw. Okay. Verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man, that's to say mortal man now, flesh man, be just with God? How in the world can a mortal man be just with God? He's perfect and we're not. We just slip and we fall. Bear in mind, since Christ paid the price on the cross, and we have forgiveness that does make us perfect. That's beautiful. 3. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him 1 of 1,000. God is so intelligent, and he knows everything. But do you know something? You're not in competition with him. You know why? He's your father. He's family. You're not expected to know more than your father, Almighty God. So you're not in contention with him. But Job, I can almost read Job's mind. Father, what am I to contend with you? I don't understand what is wrong. I haven't done anything wrong, and yet I'm being tossed around this way. Lost all of my children, 10 good children, and all of my crops, my land. I've lost it all. It's just fell apart, and I've done nothing except serve you and love you, and I will never denounce you. I can almost read Job's mind here. What good does it do? I'm not about to contend with God and say, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Verse 4. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him, and who hath prospered. Who's lived to tell about it? That really, you know, just really gives God a hard time all the way in and out. God won't put up with it, in other words. Job knows that. Which removeth the mountains, and they know not. I mean, he can suddenly bring an earthquake and just shake down a mountain. Which overturneth them in his anger. He can do whatever he wants to. And what is this mortal man, Job, standing before him? Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. I mean, he can throw cloud cover over this earth till you couldn't see the sun for days if he didn't want you to. 8. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. He controls it all. That's your father. With what, and I'm sure Job is saying, what in the world have I done to my father who is so powerful and so controlling that this is happening? And he was being used as an example by the father himself. Father had singled him out. Father had said, I know Job can take it. Father had said, that's my boy. He's special. I can count on him. I can let Satan do all these things, and I know he's not going to break that child of mine. And he didn't. So let that be a lesson in your life as well, though through the crucifixion and through God's help, we have the leverage over Satan even. Verse 9, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, the giant, the bear keeper, the herdsman first, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, the southern cross, and all the rest of the great heavens. He controls it. Did you know that your father had that ability, and you're his child? And what are you worried about? Do you not know your father that you would worry when he's in charge and he's in control? And all you have to do is let him know you love him and that you need him, and he'll take care of you. 10, which doeth great things past finding out. That's the same word, okay? Indescribable. Past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Our Father does it. Let me ask you something. Have you enjoyed part of it lately? Have you called him recently? Talked to him? That's in your mind. He knows what you're thinking. He's in charge. And he is ever so proud of his children that love him. Hey, I know that we all mess up and we trip, and I know that all of us let him down occasionally. We do. You know, a man get out just trying to mind his own business and have a big old hammer and hit his thumb, and he almost has a change of religion, you know, before he can stop and think, you know, as the blister comes up, okay? You know, as some dentist pulls the wrong tooth, you know, and so, I think we better do this again. But anyway, we all slip up occasionally, because none of us are perfect. Dentists don't do that, okay? You go to them when you need one. They're fantastic people. And anyway, we're not perfect, but God, if you talk to him, considers you so. And he will take care of you. Past finding out. There's just no way you can measure it, know it, or understand how good he is and how wonderful he is. Hey, he's not hard to please. But let me tell you something. If you leave him out of the equation of your life, he gets jealous pretty quick. He does. If you decide all of a sudden, I can take care of this myself, and it's good when you do take care of stuff for yourself, but it's his business. You want to be real careful how you try to take care of his business, because he'd rather do it himself, all right? That's when you've done, his business is when you've done all you can do and you've hit it a couple of times, not a quitter, and all of a sudden you say, Lord, I need help. And he says, all right, let's get it together here. And we go, okay? So, Father, it's just indescribable at how good to us he is if you'll let him. It's your choice. It's your boat. You're sailing it. How you doing? Are you a pretty good navigator? Do you ever get in lost waters? Strange waters? Be careful, my friend. Sail your boat, and you do a good job of it. Verse 11, lo, he goeth by me, Job continues, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. I can't see him, but I know he's there. That's the same way with you. He's present. Different dimension? Yes. 12. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Okay. Who could even think? Well, we can if you want to. Sometimes you might get an answer you didn't like. But you can ask God why he's doing a certain thing. He's not opposed to that. But Job does realize he's in a different dimension. And sometimes that creates a lack of communication unless you study the Word. Because His Word is here, and He's everywhere. He's in you. Verse 13. If God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him. This is a little bit contaminated. The Hebrew is the sons of Rahab will lie prostrate under Him when He doesn't withdraw His anger. They know where it's coming from. 14. How much less shall I answer Him and choose out my words to reason with Him? Do you ever do that? You really should. That's how you talk to Him. But you don't have to be afraid of Him. You're quite the contrary, supposed to reverence Him. Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. I would do what? In the Hebrew, I would ask for mercy. It's the best thing to do. Why? We're not perfect. Ask for mercy from our Father. Why? It's indescribable how good He is. And how, you know something? You have very poor luck at changing people's minds. I know as a pastor, I've counseled, I've tried to change minds, and that's really almost impossible to do, is to change people's minds. But I know who can. I know that God can. Okay. And if I had called and He had answered me, yet would I not believe that He had hearkened unto my voice? For He breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. This is not true. Job's kind of... But in Job's mind it is, and you got to realize that. Job knows that he hasn't done anything. Job knows that he has not sinned. And he does not understand where this is coming from. But, beloved, where is he making his mistake? Who is he blaming? Poor old Job here is blaming God. And you shouldn't do that. So you want to be real careful. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. I can't get any rest. If I speak of strength, lo, He is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? When is God going to hear my case? And I'm sure that's what Job was worried about, because Job knew he was innocent. If God would hear his case, if he could get that trial before Almighty God, but he says, I can't see Him. I don't hear from Him. I've got to have faith and know He's there and that He's doing this to me, but it wasn't God doing it to him. That's where he messed up. You are so fortunate today because of the unrestricted mercies that God makes available to you, that He gives you power and authority over all of your enemies. Just like that. And you know how to use it. And you have Job as an example of the frustration, the confusion of how to deal with life. Do you know how often you can get your case heard from Almighty God? Instantly. He's got the time, do you? But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, if you're one of God's elect, which is what Job is symbolic of, He might have you on a mission in life that you don't even know about. And He might be trying you to a degree just like He did old Job. But you still have the power and the authority that He has given you. Use it. Most of all, He has given you something to reason with. Don't lose it. Don't get angry. Do you know that anger is a brand of insanity? You lose your cool and you're insane. You're not going to be able to reach God if you're angry. We're not talking about righteous indignation here now, okay? I want to clear the deck here real good. But anger won't cut it, you know? So Job has got it pretty well together. He hasn't done anything, but he still seems to want to blame God and try to get a hearing when he kind of forgot about Satan. God will give him a sign of the old Leviathan in the end of this book, and we're going to depart from it right now, of what Satan is like and how you want to watch him. You today can, from chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, can find out more so what he's like. Satan went up to God and concerning Job, and he's not so much. You just remove that protection and I can get him just like that. I mean, how easy can you be had? Okay? How easy can Satan get to you? When he knows you have power, he knows you have the big hammer. And that's why if you'll bow up like you should, like a Christian should, he's going to run from you. But if he can buffalo you, get you on a poor me baby kick. Oh, life is so bad for me. Don't you feel sorry for me? Just look at me. If he can get you, yeah, Satan will look at you all right. If he can get you in that mode, when you got a sledgehammer over his head, he's doing something, isn't he? All you have to do is stand up, grab that hammer, and say, "I'm coming for you, boy." And he's out of your life. He's gone. And you become a child of God instead of a PMB. A poor me baby. Okay? How many of you have listened to me teach and you know that poor me babies are not my favorite people? I love everybody, but if somebody's gone that far. But you don't understand, Pastor. I'm a poor me baby special. Ooh, pardon me. This is bad. But everybody has your problems, and that's why we have each other. Well, let's take care of them, all right? But don't ever let Satan get you on a feeling sorry for yourself. You got too much going for you. The uncountable past figuring out wonders and mercies of Almighty God your Father. How can you have too big a problem when he controls the whole world and you're his child? And do you know something? He really cares about his children. He really does. And again, he's your Father. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Romans. Unsearchable goodness of our Father. Romans chapter 11. This is where Paul would be teaching, and he would concerning the false Messiah. Even he said, "Hey, don't worry about it. God's got 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baal. Everything's going to be secure." But he has blinded some folks with the spirit of stupor, slumber, and there's no way. But it's for a good reason. And where we're going all the way down to 25. This is his purpose, beloved. This is his plan. This is why that he has this unsearchable goodness. He can afford it. Verse 25, Paul's teaching after the grafting in of the wild olive into the tame olive tree, okay? Bringing God's children back into a family. 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits," that's to be self-conceited, "that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." I have a purpose. I've got a plan. There's a reason they're scattered all over the world. There's a reason that they migrate the way they do. And it's a beautiful plan. 26. And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. That's at the end of the millennium. And although, if they belong to the house of Satan, I'm sorry, they're not of Israel. They're going into the lake. Ook. Okay. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's to say our Savior, Messiah. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And he does that. All you got to do is repent and mean it. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. God kind of handles his election, and he will move them. Why? They're already justified, as you know from Romans chapter 8. All right? Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If God says to you, I'm going to use you to spread the word, I'm sorry, you're hooked, friend. If God gives you a gift of making ill people feel better, I'm sorry, you're hooked. God's gifts are not without repentance. Well, you don't understand, brother. We got a deacon board that can put somebody out of business just like that. Well, I'm sorry, your deacon board doesn't qualify with God. If God gives a gift to somebody, they've got the gift, like it, lump it, good, bad, ugly. It's there. Okay, it's their gift. They're free to use it. As a matter of fact, if they don't use it, he'll see to it. That's without repentance. That's kind of final. You got it? Okay? That's kind of like he knew what Job would do, and he knew how far he could count on Job, and bingo, the game began. Do you think he doesn't know you? Do you think he doesn't know what you can do? Gifts given are without repentance, all right? Verse 30. And as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. 31, even so have these also now not believed, not obeyed, all right, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. That's part of God's plan. I don't know, can you have mercy on somebody, or do you like to kick somebody when they're down? I cannot, there's one thing I cannot stand is to see a man kick a man that's down. I will intervene. I cannot handle that. Never have been able to. I don't know what that's got to do with this, but it's just not right, okay? Always give a man a chance to get back up on his own feet and then go from there, all right? 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Again, this is between the Gentiles and the house of Israel, and the fact that God said, call no man uncommon, all right? That he might have mercy upon all. Why? He loves all. He wants all. That's why he created them in the first place. This is why that sheep came to Peter and God said, eat. He said, I ain't going to. There's unclean things on that. I mean, he even told God, I won't eat it. And God finally got around the time. Cornelius' servants are coming right up to the gate right now. And they're Gentiles. You will go with them and you will help them. You will call no man common. That's what I'm talking about. Not what's on that sheet for you to eat. All right, and a lot of preachers will say, yes, God changed the health laws. God was loving his children, okay? Verse 33, listen carefully. This is why we came here. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of and in the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He knows. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. That's fantastic, isn't it? That he'll guard you. What are you afraid of? I hope you say, nothing. Bring them on. Okay? Because you can. God does so love his children and does so watch over them. I don't know, don't you? Do you know, do you have that born instinct, I will take care of my child? Of course you do. Well, do you think you're better than Father? Father takes care of his own. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? I'm sorry, none of us can. Or who hath been his counselor? I guarantee you, and it makes me feel real good, he doesn't need one. He's it. Okay? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again, always. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things in this life, okay? To whom be glory forever. Amen. One more place I want to take you to real quickly. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. And I want to go to chapter 3. Book of Ephesians, New Testament, chapter 3. What I hope you understand I'm doing is showing you that our Father's love is unsearchable. There's no end to it. But what I want you to know is he's got a plan. And it's best for you in this life if you align with that plan, because if you don't, you're like some square peg trying to fit in a round hole and call yourself Christian. You know, it won't work. A square peg won't go in a round hole without tearing something up. I've found that out the hard way. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 1, Ephesians, Paul speaking. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul had a threefold ministry. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it was to the kings, it was to Israel, and it was to the Gentiles. He always taught on three levels. Which level do you listen to? If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. He did that in Romans 16. Very few words. 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. I want you to see it. Which in other ages, that's eons, times gone by, first earth age even, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What Spirit? Holy Spirit. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And all gifts are without repentance. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, and this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, there it is, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, always teach on those levels. If you teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you cannot help but teach on those three levels. For it is written on those three levels. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, the beginning of ages, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Christ was there. and the polysyndeton, and in chapter 1 of Genesis, moved upon the waters, and the polys, meaning Christ, the Holy Spirit, moved upon this, that, and the other. 10. To the intent, this was the purpose, the reason, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that means the archangels, good, bad, and ugly, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Your Father knows everything. Your Father is in power everywhere. Why? He created it. Christ was there also that is in you. Isn't that something? It truly is. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom ye, that's you, have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's why we don't have poor me babies. That's why with confidence you can stand before him and know that you are tied into his unmeasurable love and mercy that he ties into your life. Do you think it's only just for you? No. It's so that you can be a blessing to others, beloved. So that it spreads, it catches. It catches like the worst case of flu from one to the other. That's not a good analogy at all, is it? Anyway, it can be catching if you're the, if you allow it to give strength and hope to a people that are hopeless and helpless. That's why it is so unsearchable, so grand, that we common mortals have the effectual blessings of Almighty God to do his work. Well, I didn't know that I was supposed to do his work. All gifts are given without repentance. If you have a gift, you better think about it. I'm not trying to make a religious fanatic out of anybody. You must always protect